amazing. So let's give Pastor Emma a big hand. Thank you, Emma. Thank you for everything that you do here.
Thanks, Charlie. Well, we have a photo. Oh, there it is, the photo of all the youth. 48 youth from Frelard went to the youth camp. What's really, really cool is that there were 14 new people who have never been to youth at all who are on this camp. How good is God? And Reese and Danny have worked really, really hard to make that happen, to get those kids there. So my kids don't look very happy, but I'm sure they've had a great time. It's been really quiet at our house this weekend. They come back this afternoon. Okay. Freedom. I love our vision for this year, freedom. I want to go straight into a scripture, Philippians 4, verse 6 to 9, which says, "Don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you." Our freedom means we have the peace of God. We are to daily walk in His peace. God desires for us to walk in His peace. He has given us His peace. But have you ever experienced fear or worry that's been so intense that it's debilitated you or paralyzed you or has left you shaking uncontrollably with such intense fear and worry about what was going on in your world or what was going on internally? Do your thoughts spiral into a path of worry? You know, does it go like, wow, if I don't pass this test, I'm never going to succeed in school or go to university, then I'll never get a job, then I'll never get a wife, then I'll never get to marry, then I'll never get a family, and then I'll, you know, do your thoughts spiral out of control? Do they catastrophize what may happen in your life? Do they consume your mind? Recently, a person in our church came up to me and she said she was actually feeling really alone and full of despair, no hope. She was ready to give up on life. And she came to me and she expressed all this to me and she said, "Don't you ever feel that way or think that way? Like, you just seem like everything's really great and everything's okay and everything's peaceful and calm." And I was actually quite shocked that she had said that. And I reflected on that and thought, wow, she is seeing a lot of work that I go and do behind the scenes in you know, having the peace of God. She sees that the peace of God is in my heart and in my mind. She sees that I have God's joy because I'm walking in His peace. I'm walking in His joy. I'm walking and talking God's peace. And that's what she could see. And so I want to share with you today this process that Paul tells us in Philippians of walking and talking God's peace. I want to share how to do this. I want to share that, you know, we all have fears. We all have worries. What if I am going to be in poverty? What if I don't have a next meal this week? Will I get that job? Will I be healed? Will I overcome this addiction? All these things that happen in all of our lives, God gives us His peace and His joy. And so, you know, Richard and I, we have gone through poverty. We have been with a little baby where we've you know, gone without meals for the day and just had curries each night because that was, you know, that was our main meal and that lasts a long time. And so we've done that. We know what it's like to live in poverty, to be poor, to have without, to have a lack. And in that space, we also know that God provides for everything that we need. He provides for all the bills that need to be paid. The financial pressures that we have faced over most of our married life has been quite great. You may not know that, it may not appear that way, but that is the case. And often from week to week, we are facing financial pressures of feeding our children, of the bills. But God provides every time, and His peace reigns in our hearts through all those situations and circumstances. You know, internally, I really battle with a lot of anxiety and the thoughts of you're useless, you're worthless, you're not good enough. Why are you even here? These thoughts really consume my mind and my heart, and they take hold of me at times, and it becomes very debilitating, especially when I'm preaching. Let me tell you, the enemy does not want his word to be spoken forth to prevail. And he will use those things to attack the weaker parts of you to really stop you from actually doing his will. The persecution is very, very real and true. And the devil is quite sneaky in how he does that. And so I battle with this. And I walk and I talk his peace. And I declare the goodness of God in my life, and I declare that his peace actually reigns in my heart and my mind. And so the enemy can get lost, can go away, and his peace can reign. But it is a process, and it takes work. It's an active participation of relationship with God. Active participation of relationship with God. So what worries, I want to ask you today, what worries do you face today? What are you concerned about? What fears do you have? What are those things that only you know about but nobody else knows about, that you think about, that you worry about, that you fear? I want to tell you today that Philippians, the Apostle Paul, says we're to tell everything to God. We're to express all of our emotions and our fears and our worries to Him. Because he cares, but also because as we do that, he will give you his peace, his internal peace that passes our understanding. God has given you his peace. The more we bring all of our fears and our worries to him, we thank God for all he has done, concentrate on who God is, the more peace we will have and the less room for fears and worry there will be. Our freedom means we have peace. We have the peace of God, and we can daily walk in this. So in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 5, the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, they were in poverty and they were facing a lot of persecution. They were really facing a lot of troubles. Yet he says in 2 Corinthians that the church was so generous in actually giving financially and of what materials they had to support Paul's ministry over the time. And so in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 5, Paul is bragging about the Philippians and says, "Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it out of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do." They gave themselves first to the Lord, and in that process, they gave generously out of that heart of putting God first. I think that's quite profound, seeing a church in poverty and persecution who was able to give so generously, who was able to still put God first because they had the peace of God in their hearts and in their minds. So Philippians 4, 6 to 9, let's read this again. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Everything. It's praying about everything. It's pouring your heart out to God in prayer. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Lord, I need a job. Lord, I need to be free from this addiction. Lord, I need you know, reconciliation in family relationships. God, I need my husband to come to the Lord, or I need my wife to come to the Lord. God, I need you to move in this situation. I need you to do something where there is stress in my life. Tell Him what you need. Pour out your heart to God and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I'll go on and read a little bit more later on from that passage. So Paul has complete confidence and hope in God to take care of everything we need. Everything that we need. See, when we get the truth of who God is and what His word says in our hearts and in our minds, we can have that full confidence and hope that He does provide for everything that we need, that He will break open things and doors and make possible jobs that we need. He will pour finances into your world. He will heal your sickness. He will heal that addiction. He will heal that pain. He will do that because that's who God is towards you. He is a loving God towards you. He doesn't want to see His kids in pain. He wants to see them healthy and whole and in a right relationship with Him. And so Paul says, this is how you do it. Tell everything to God. Pour out your whole heart to Him. And thank you for all He has done. God, I thank you that you are my provider. I thank you that you give me shelter. I thank you that you've got everything worked out for the good because I love you. I thank you that even in my sickness, you can bring healing. You can bring your peace. I thank you for who you are. You are a sovereign God. You are a holy God. You love me. You protect me. And so as you tell Him, as you pour your heart out, as you thank Him for who He is, that's when you will experience His peace. And then he also says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learnt and received from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. So once we pour out our hearts, once we thank Him for all He has done, then we fix our mind, our thoughts on God, on what is true, on lovely, admirable, honourable, worthy, excellent of praise. So there's two parts to this. There's a two-part process to how we experience the peace of God. And I want to share, you know, we talk a lot about the cognitive part of the brain where the brain is rewired as we change our thinking and change our thinking patterns, and how God does change the neuro pathways, and that actually does happen. Our brains are malleable. There's also the emotional part of our brain, and that's the same way. And so here we see in Philippians how God asks us to pour out our hearts to Him. And as we do that, as we really express all of our emotions and all of our fears and worries, that emotional part of the brain starts to shift and move. That's where God transforms us, where He transforms our heart. And then as we thank God for all He has done, and as we fix our thoughts on what things are lovely and pure and admirable and all those wonderful things, what is true, the cognitive part, the thought part of the brain changes as well. And the peace of God will then guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. How beautiful has God designed us to be? What a great scripture that we have that we can take hold of and put into practice on a daily basis, having the peace of God with us all the time. God is so good. God is so good. So Mark 4, verse 35 to 40, this is when Jesus was on the boat with his disciples. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Now, the disciples, a lot of them were fishermen. So when there's a fierce storm, it's a really fierce storm. Todd, I know you go fishing a lot. I'm sure you can imagine, you know, the waves would have been massive and they would have been really, really scared that they were going to sink and drown. And Jesus is asleep on a cushion in the boat, not fazed at all, not worried at all. He is completely peaceful because he knows everything will be okay. The disciples didn't quite understand that at that point. The presence of Jesus was their peace. The presence of him was their peace. But the disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The presence of Jesus is our peace. We've been worshipping God this morning. We've been worshipping Jesus this morning and we've been in his presence and experiencing his peace. The presence of Jesus with those disciples was their peace. And they could trust him. And also the power that Jesus has, the power that we have in him speaking his words. He rebuked the wind. He rebuked the waves. He has power over everything, power over all creation. He can be trusted. He is your peace. So you have his peace. John 14, 27, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be afraid or troubled." We have Christ in us. Jesus has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that comes with his peace. We have this peace when we are in a right relationship with God, when we are close to him, when we are praying, talking with God, walking with God. You know, the deepest secret of Christ's peace was his unbroken communion and relationship with the Father, where his will was submitted to his Heavenly Father. That's where we get our peace from, the peace that surpasses all understanding. So don't be troubled or afraid. Jesus knows we face external fears and worries. He knows that we battle with troublesome thoughts, with anxiety. There are many things that rob us of peace, that disturb us, and ultimately can draw us away from Jesus. But he exhorts us to cherish his peace, to keep his peace, to be in his presence, to pray, praise and thank him so we know and so we can keep his peace. I was reading about a testimony of Darlene Check. How many of you know who Darlene Check is? She's a very well-known worship leader, songwriter. She's pastoring a church now, and she had breast cancer a few years ago. And she talks about going through that time, which was very, very terrifying. She was facing her mortality, she was facing possible death. Yet she also talks about the peace of God. And I think when we're looking at scripture, we need to be able to apply scripture to all situations and circumstances. And so for her, in a space where she was very ill, it was very painful to go through chemotherapy, she had the peace of God. I'm just going to read a little bit of what she talks about from an article. She says, breast cancer was a new level of deep suffering. My theology was put through a sieve, and I had to lean into every scripture I knew to be true about God's providence and that it was not his desire that I or my family should suffer. To see his kids in pain hurts him too. To fully trust God during times of immense pain is one of the greatest gifts of a trial. You find the beautiful Holy Spirit is there, no matter how broken you are or how disappointed you are or how hopeless you feel. Now, Darlene Check was healed of the breast cancer. And she says that her heart still aches for people all over the world who are facing persecution, sickness and poverty. She hopes that all of them will look to Christ to guide them and instill in them an assurance of being loved just as she did. And she says it's critical to remember the finished work of the cross when evil tries to press in on every side. Whatever situation you find yourself in, know this, God is present. Worship him. Recognize and acknowledge his greatness, even in moments of great pain, and you will discover his grace and power is sufficient. What a powerful testimony. If you get a chance, go look at some interviews and her testimony, because you can see that she, out of her worship towards God, out of her heart that has just poured out to him, declaring who he is, you're my healer. I know that you don't want me to be dying of this. It's not my time. She knew God had said it wasn't her time. She had a peace about that. She had a peace that she would be healed. And so we really are called to trust in Jesus. The more we trust in Jesus, to put all our hope and confidence in him, the more secure we will be in having his peace constantly. But also the less shaky we will be when troubles come our way. Our worries really do become insignificant. They really do. We've had two cars blow up in the last couple of years. One just got oil in the engine. I don't know why. The other one, I don't know why it blew up. But two cars blew up. Now we have a family of six living off one car. You know, that's interesting. It's challenging trying to get to places and do things, use public transport. But, you know, for some people that would be a big thing. For us, for me, oh, well, that doesn't matter. Whatever, that's okay. They don't seem so troublesome. They don't take a hold of us when we're practicing walking and talking in the peace of God, because it's just stuff. It's just stuff. And I know that God's got us. And I know there are ways that we can go forward. And I know that he will provide. He will always provide. And he always does. He always does. We need to trust in Jesus. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 to 8. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. When we first moved into our new home about 5 years ago, Richard planted these lily pillies, and all of our soil is very sandy. We don't have the luxury of the market gardens around the Frio area, around the Spielwood area where we used to live, and the soil we had was very sandy. And he had to nurture and water and look after these trees for quite a few years so that their roots could really go deep and establish into the ground. And once that had happened, they're really low maintenance, very easy to look after. They're secure, they're firmly established. They can get to the water. And it's like us when we trust in Jesus, when our hope and our confidence is 100% trusting in Jesus, that we are blessed, that we are like this tree that Jeremiah talks about, planted along a riverbank. Our roots go really deep into who Jesus is, into the Word of God. We know Scripture. We declare it. We trust in what He says. And we can stand very solid. And things can come our way, whether externally or even internally, and it doesn't shake us because we're solid on the Word of God. We're solid in our confidence and our hope in who Christ is. It's my prayer that all of you will be able to actually put this into practice. That tomorrow morning, when you get up in the morning, if a thought pops into your head, a thought of a worry, what am I going to do? Will I get a job today? I have to apply for jobs. God, will you heal me of this chronic pain? Lord, I need your peace. Whatever it is, that you would put this Philippians passage into practice. That you would say, God, I'm just going to pour out my heart to you. Pour out my heart. God, I've been praying for a partner for many, many years. Why have you not provided that? Lord, you know the desires of my heart. God, you know that I want to see this relationship restored. God, I just want, whatever it is, pour out your heart to him. Pour out your heart to him and thank him for all he has done. Thank him for all the times that he has provided you if you are living in a place where you need. Thank him for the times that you were healthy if you're in a place of sickness. Thank him for all he has done. And then think about who he is. Think on the good things, on the things that are true and lovely. And his peace will guard your heart and guard your mind. It's like, his peace is like, when we have his peace in our heart and mind, it's like, you know, that guarding that he gives us, it's like a protection. If you can imagine your heart and your mind is protected, like those people who, nurses or doctors or surgeons, who have to, you know, suit up and put all their protective gear on to prevent any contamination or anything that would infiltrate into what they're wearing and then vice versa. It's like that. The peace of God guards your heart and mind. It's like a protective layer around your heart and mind, so that when things come your way, when things the enemy tries to disturb you, when fears or worries or external things happen in your world, you're not fazed by it because you've got the protection, you've got the guarding that the peace of God is over your heart, over your mind. This is who God is. This is what you can experience on a daily basis. And so claiming that and declaring that, that's where we practice. That's where we practice. Every time a thought comes into our head, every time we feel fear or worry, we give it to God. We talk it out to God. We pray it to God. We tell him all about it. He knows. He understands. He desires for us to just constantly be telling him what's going on in our world. And thank him. He will give you his peace. And as you do this, you will get stronger and stronger in walking and talking his peace. He is with you. Jesus is with you. We can trust in him. We can completely trust in him. Our freedom means we have the peace of God. We've got to walk in this on a daily basis. Freedom, our freedom vision this year. This year, declare this year to be a year where you are walking in his peace. That the freedom that we have in walking in his peace will be something that you can do more and more this year. Church, can you stand up? We'll get the worship team up as well. And I just want you to put out your arms to God. as we stand in his presence. Father God, we thank you today that you are for us. You are greater than he that is in the world. Father God, we thank you that you love your children, that you delight for every single person here to know your peace, to know your peace that surpasses all understanding, to know the peace of God that can fill our heart and our mind. Lord, to drown out the worries, to drown out the fears. Father God, to know that you love us. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for who you are. God, I thank you that right now you are setting people free from addictions. Father God, completely 100% free. And Lord, you are restoring broken hearts. You are pouring your love, your grace, your mercy into people's hearts right now. I thank you for the healing that you're doing of people's hearts and minds. As we stand just open before you, Lord, we thank you for your peace. We thank you for right relationships. God, we thank you that, Lord, you're going to bring unity in relationships where there's discord. I see that for people here today. I see that you're going to bring love where there's been hate. I see that for your people today. I thank you that in the space of waiting for work, of waiting for a partner, of waiting for the promises that you have, God, that you will pour your peace into your people today. And that your peace will reign in our hearts and our minds. Lord, we're going to be firmly established and rooted and grounded in the Word of God, in your presence. Thank you, God, that you gave us your peace. You gave us your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your joy, Lord. We praise you today. We rejoice in you today for who you are. Everlasting Father God, holy, holy God. We rejoice in who you are today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing that song, Old Choir Song. Yes? I think it's a great song to finish with because it talks about the joy that we have. Peace and joy. We have the peace and the joy of the Lord. So let's praise God together. Please stay.